Well, until recently, the Scottish journalist Cal Flynn didn't understand the fascination with family history, why people pored over bloodlines and family trees, wasting time looking backwards rather than ahead. And then, when one particular stone was casually turned over, something very nasty was waiting for her. Cal Flynn was on a trip through native Scotland with her mother when she heard about this famous explorer, an adventurer, a Highlander, one of the first to explore parts of Australia, who had names, had whole areas named after him. Initially, Cal swelled with pride, but as she began to research, she learned that Angus MacMillan, her great-great-great uncle, was responsible for the deaths of dozens, possibly hundreds, of Gunai Aboriginals during the 1830s and 40s. She decided to trace his path from Scotland to Gippsland, and the result is Thicker Than Water, a part memoir, part history book, which she's just published. I spoke to her earlier today and asked her about unearthing this very dark family secret and how she came across it in the first place.
Certainly, across in Scotland, a lot of our colonial history is not very well known at all. And so to us, MacMillan was very much only a name, and the idea that he had achieved a lot in Australia. And it was only when I did a lot of digging just over the internet and then intrigued when I came across in person that really any of this quite dark truth about what went on in Gippsland led by MacMillan has come out.
So you were on a holiday with your mum, sort of backtracking through some of the places in Scotland that your family had lived, and she mentioned this name.
That's right. I was, I suppose, at a bit of a crossroads in my life trying to figure out what to do with myself. I'd been working in London and not being terribly happy. So I came back to visit my family and was thinking a lot about wanting to be closer to my family. And we went back to Skye, which is where she grew up, and found ourselves in a diaspora exhibition talking about how Scottish settlers had travelled across the world and made names for themselves. And one of those Scotsmen was MacMillan. And I alighted on this, I think, because I was looking for some kind of inspiration in my life at that time. And, he just sort of leapt out to me as a character. And the more I absorbed this almost iconic story in my eyes, the more involved I got. And it was really quite an emotional experience for me, I think, when I found out that it wasn't all the glorious story that it seemed on the surface.
So the big grand narrative arc was that he'd come to Australia, opened up tracts of land there. He'd named, sort of discovered, in quotation marks, areas of Gippsland. There was a road named after him, etc. But then you found this article about Australian Aboriginals wanting to change the names because of its link to him. Tell us what that was about.
Yes, that's right. This is something that has, in fact, come up again recently in the last few months, a recurring question about whether the MacMillan electorate in Gippsland should be allowed to celebrate his name now that it is known through the hard work of historians in the 80s and 90s who uncovered a lot of what has been very much a secret history of what really went on the frontier during the dark days of settlement. The fact that MacMillan led a number of massacres and that his peers committed some others through a decade in the early settlement of Gippsland. And so the question has arisen that whether or not it's appropriate for his name to be celebrated in this way. And so it was this article I stumbled upon, this debate that had been happening in contemporary Australia, that first aroused my suspicions that something else was going on.
So tell us about his life and his arrival in Australia. As you say, he left Scotland. It was pretty much the Highland clearances that brought him to Australia, which has a dreadful irony because what he and his so-called Highland Brigade then did was pretty similar to what had been happening in Scotland.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at this time, the 1830s, the end of the 1830s when he left Scotland, it was really a very uncertain, unstable time in Scotland. It was going through a sort of agricultural revolution, and a lot of the poorest Scots, particularly in Highlands and Islands, which is where Macmillan was from, were being forced from their traditional lands. And that's why so many of them were going abroad. You know, they were losing their culture as well. It had been illegal in the decades previously to speak Gaelic or to wear traditional costume. And so that's why it is so horribly ironic and extra painful that they then went on to commit this upon the Ghanaian people, and, you know, far worse. You know, it was really a very violent clash, which took it further than the Highland clearances. So these same issues just echoed on decades later, but with the Highlanders in the strong position, they'd rewritten the same actions of what they had experienced in Scotland, but casting themselves this time in the winning role.
It's not the first time that one people who've been brutalised then go on to do the same to another. What do we know about those deaths? How well documented are they, and how blatantly were they committed?
Well, the one thing which has confused things over the years is that this was not a state policy in Australia to kill Aboriginal people. This was something that happened sort of under the radar almost. The execution of those who committed the Mile Creek massacres in 1837, I think they were executed, had highlighted to the settlers around this time that it was very important that they needed to cover up the deaths that they were causing. And so people would not crow openly about what they themselves had done. But it is very much an undertow in all the correspondence and the writing of the time. In fact, one of the key, I suppose he's an informant, but he was a settler in Gippsland of the time, the young Englishman called Henry Meyrick, who really gives one of the only direct accounts. He estimated that something like 400, perhaps more, Aboriginal people had been killed in the time that he'd been there. He talked about how no beast of the forest was ever hunted down with such unsparing perseverance as they are. Men, women and children all shot down whenever they can be met with. So this is, you know, brutal stuff. Even the commissioner, Charles Tyres, was recorded as being in pursuit of blacks, but they were very careful not to say, I shot one, I killed one, you know, on my land, because they knew that they could be tried, they knew that they could be hung, and they were careful to cover their tracks.
The language used at the time to describe what was going on is just awful. Now, tell us, your relative, Macmillan, is thought to have led three or four particular massacres, but tell us about Warrigal Creek in 1843.
That's right. The massacre at Warrigal Creek is thought to have been one of the bloodiest episodes on the Australian frontier. Somewhere between 80 and 200 Ghanai people of the Pratuwilin Kwang are thought to have been killed that day. It's thought to have been a reprisal killing after a very prominent settler, Ranald McAllister, was killed. And the Highlanders, as many of the settlers in Gippsland at that time were Highlanders, reacted with rage and anger, gathered together in what they called the Highland Brigade, led, it's thought, by Macmillan. And they rode down searching for those who had killed McAllister, but I think also with a sort of blind rage, and they alighted on a camp in the curve of Warrigal Creek and killed all that they came across. It was really, from the accounts that we can make out, really a terrible day. And it's possible that it was a massacre that was then followed by several other massacres in close succession, hence the possibly huge numbers of victims.
So this is men, women and children.
That's right.
And into the creek?
Yes, it's thought that they came across the encampment really quite unexpectedly because these people were not anticipating to be held accountable for a crime that they didn't necessarily even know had taken place, and were herded or forced towards the creek where they were trapped, and many ran into the creek trying to escape while the Highlanders were shooting. It's thought that only one boy was saved. He had been hit in the eye and was known as Bungai. But then some accounts have him being marched ahead of the Highlanders and forced to lead them to other encampments where secondary massacres took place. This is all reconstructed from the accounts that we can find, you know, between the decades. People who are thought to have taken place give us scraps here and there, and so it is built up from a number of different sources, some of which conflict, but the picture as a whole, I mean, it's a mosaic of information, and it paints a picture of really a very brutal day.
We're talking with Cal Flynn, who is a Scotswoman and a journalist who discovered that her family had roots way back in the early part of the settlement of Australia, and that her great-great-great uncle was involved in these massacres in the Gippsland area. Cal, how does it... obviously, this story has taken hold of you, and you have pursued it and you have written this book, but emotionally, what's that been like?
I find it really a very emotional experience. To begin with, it was a huge shock just to find that I was linked in this inextricable way to such horrible events. And I found it very difficult to process. What that prompted was a sort of hunger to find out as much about it as I could, hence my trips to Australia and sort of seeking out those who might know more about it and to find out the long-term effects. Really, in terms of emotion, what I find most troubling is how, over the course of writing this book, I've come to know Macmillan very well, indeed, because I've read his diaries. You know, I've followed his life from the beginning in Skye to the end in the bush in Australia. And so, you know, after this, you sort of get into the head of someone, and what I learned was that he wasn't a monster. That was the scariest part. He was not a horrid, horrible person desperate to commit these crimes. He was a normal person, and yet he committed this atrocity. And that's what has scared me the most, the sense that anyone under the right circumstances could commit terrible crimes. And that fills me with fear.
And it should fill us all with fear. Cal Flynn, thank you very much for talking with us this morning, and thank you also for opening up this chapter of our history to the light.
Thanks for speaking to me.
That's Cal Flynn talking to me from Edinburgh earlier this morning. She's a journalist and an author, and the book is called Thicker Than Water. Coming up, a story about the future of the Tasman Peninsula.